so that they will know I've arrived. You go wait. But if you say, God, give me a car. You see all these people in my street, so that I can be bringing them to church. God will give you quickly. Is someone with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I move too quickly. I should pause for you. It's a good day to be happy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We began a journey on Wednesday, which will be continuing today and by the grace of God throughout the month. So by the grace of God this morning, I want to speak to you from what I've titled The Purpose of Prosperity. Come on, you can do better. Can we remain upstanding for the reading of God's word? 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29, we'll be reading verses 11 and 12. 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 11. Amen. Amen. I think the person that thinks I'm mommy. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from where? Both riches and honor come from you. Is God your father? He will give it to you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength. Can we pray? Precious redeeming Father, we thank you. Thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for the things you are set to do. Thank you because through the person of the Holy Spirit, you give glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you breathe upon these words, breathe upon my notes, make them inspired. Let me not just speak of myself, but help me to speak as your oracles. The Bible says that the things which we preach, the things which we teach, the things which we talk about, they are spiritually understood, they are spiritually discerned. So Lord, by your Spirit, quicken our hearts to understand. Give us hearts that hear the voice of the Spirit. Give us the capacity to perceive the voice of the Spirit. Help us to be able to hear beyond the letters of the word. Thank you for the anointing that makes preaching and teaching simplistic. I ask you, O God, that every man's heart will be enlightened in the name of Jesus. Most importantly, let our faiths be stirred up. Let us have a renewed way of thinking. Help us to see things from a divine perspective so that you can go to work in our lives. Thank you for everyone who is watching us through the media space, who is connecting through the media space. We ask that the same unction that rests upon this meeting we rest upon them. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name, and the people of God says, amen. I know your amen can be better. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we ready? Now, if you are not with us on Wednesday, let me just give you a little preview, and I'm going to be very brief about it so that I don't eat into my time. Amen. On Wednesday, we started by looking into the origin and the purpose of money. Praise the Lord. And that took us through a historical perspective. Because you must acknowledge, or you must understand, that money is not a spiritual thing. Money was not invented by God. Are we together? So we saw that the reason money came into existence was to simplify trade. Praise the Lord. It was simply to simplify trade. Praise the Lord. That's what led to the existence of money. Let me break it down. Some of you are looking at me strange. Please, can you have this reduced a bit? It's echoing. Now, prior to the advent of money, trade was conducted by the barter system. Trade by barter, condemn, condemn. You've heard that. It was the way trade was conducted. So the man who had, for example, maize, needed meat, will go to the meat seller, will take his maize, give to the meat seller will give him meat to the value of what his maize is. Now, that trade method had its downside. What if I want meat from you and you don't want my rice? So, I can't trade with you. Talk to me. And okay, maybe somebody wants my rice, but he does not have what I want, or what the meat seller wants. So because of that difficulty in transaction, man had to look for a unified means of transacting, of doing business. Praise the Lord. That led to what we call money today. It led to a unified system of transaction, so that if I take my commodities, I can collect that item. And with that item, I can get whatever I want. Go and read the history books. Go and read economics. You will see that that's how money came about. So the primary reason for which money came into existence was to what? Simplify trade and the exchange of goods and services. Are we good? Praise the Lord. Then we went to scripture, because we are scriptural people. We are not just looking at money. I'm not an economics teacher, I'm a Bible teacher. So we went to the scriptures to try and understand what is the purpose of money. And we applied the principle of first mention. Amen. So we went to where the Bible makes an inference about money. Praise the Lord. And we saw that in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. Like I said, I'm not going to go into details. But we discovered certain things, and I'll give you those things. Number one, we discovered that from a Bible standpoint, a man's wealth is not necessarily measured by how much money he has. Hello? Having money does not make you rich. We saw that clearly. God does not measure your wealth by how much money you have. Praise the Lord. We saw that in a scriptural context, the things that were the currency of that day were not even called money unless a transaction was in force, was in place. Am I communicating? For example, in Genesis 13 verse 2, the Bible says Abraham was rich in livestock, and then he was rich in silver, and then he was rich in gold. Now, the Bible didn't call him money. So the first time the Bible now mentioned money was when Abraham wanted to use that same silver to purchase land. So the Bible agrees with historical facts that money is a currency of transaction. Am I communicating? Amen. So if trade was not involved, it was not called money. So money exists for trade. Praise the Lord. So can I say something to you? You want money? You must have something that people want to buy. Hello? Money will not come if you don't have something that people want from you. Money flows in the direction of value. Am I talking to somebody? See, I've come to realize that it is not need per se. Hello? Because I can need something that you have, but I'm not willing to part with money for it if I don't value it. The difference between a man buying a shirt for 100,000+, you know, their shirts that expensive, 150,000, 200, 300, and then the one you are selling for 5,000. There are people who will leave your 5,000 and come buy the one of 100,000+. And you say, look, I cannot buy a share for 100,000+. It's value. Is what? Is the value the person places on the item that determines his or her willingness to part with his money to get that in true of us. So, to get money, you must deliver value. Am I talking to somebody? You must what? So you must meet needs and you must deliver value. That means it's not enough just to do things anyhow. You must do it in a way that people will see a difference in what you do. Are we understood? So money is what? A currency of commerce. It does not necessarily answer to prayer points. So don't sit at home doing nothing and you are praying, oh Lord, oh goody. You will pray till Jesus returns and you will still be broke. Are we good? Praise the Lord. On Friday, I won't go there. He didn't come. Sorry for you. I don't know what to say. Amen. But Friday was phenomenal. It was what? Hallelujah. We discovered that if you are broke, you are in bondage. Hello? If you are broke, you are what? You need deliverance. He brings out those who are bound into what? Psalm 68 verse 6. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity.
You need to connect.
Shut up. I'm not talking to you. Amen. Amen. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. So if you have been brought out of prosperity, of bondage, you will definitely prosper. If you are not prospering, you are either not out or your deliverance is not complete. I hope media recorded. If they did, they can give you the recorded message and hopefully you will pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So by the grace of God, this morning we want to look at God's purpose behind prosperity. God's purpose behind prosperity. The scripture tells us both riches and honor come from God. And it is in his hand to make great and to give strength to all. God says the silver is mine, the gold is mine. So what will make God give money to a man? That's what we want to discover. Praise the Lord. Now, let's establish that wealth comes from God first of all. Amen. Our text is one reference. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, it is God that gives you what? The power to get wealth. The ability. The capacity. And that's why when I hear people use terms like my money, I know they are ignorant. Because God says, I am the one who gave you what? The ability. Both the wisdom, the dexterity, the strength, the capacity. If you are sick, can you make money? If you didn't wake up this morning, can you talk of your money? Even the currency, the materials that determine the currency belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The silver that is used to make coins, the gold that is used, belongs to him. So he says, it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. The God's Word translation says, the Lord your God is the one who makes you wealthy. I pray that God will make you wealthy in Jesus' name. Genesis 24 verse 35. Give me Good News Translation. Genesis 24, 35. The Good News Bible. This is Abraham's servant testifying. Amen. And he says, the Lord has blessed my servant and made him a rich man. Amen. Amen. Okay. The Lord has blessed me greatly and has made me a rich man. You didn't say amen for Abraham. Say amen for me now. Okay. You are violating a principle, though. The Bible says what you sow, that you reap. The thing that you would want others to do for you, do for. So I say the Lord has blessed me greatly. The Lord will bless me greatly and make me a rich man. You had better say the amen well, oh, because I have automatic back to sender. Amen. So the Lord will bless you greatly and make you a rich man and make you a rich woman. Hallelujah. Now it says he has given him flocks of sheep and goats and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants or slaves, camels and donkeys. So God gives money. Am I communicating? So can I say to you, child of God, that God has no problem whatsoever with you becoming rich? Did you hear what I just said? God has no qualms with you having money. He's not adverse to you having a lot of money. Praise the Lord. The truth is, he's excited at the prospect of you becoming rich. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. I know I'm about to sail in murky waters, share with all the talk for and against prosperity on the social media space. But by the grace of God, we are going to give it balance. And we're going to look at scripture. Amen. So God is excited. God is delighted at the prospect of you becoming rich. The Bible says in Psalm 35 verse 27, it says God delights in the prosperity of them that serve him. Amen. Job 36 verse 11 says, if they will serve and obey him, they will spend their years in prosperity and their days in plenty. So God wants you to have more than enough. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. He doesn't want you to suffer lack. No natural father wants the children to suffer lack. True or false? Every genuine parent has a desire for their children to be better, to be bigger. The reason you are paying expensive school fees is because you want your children to do better than you. Talk to me. So God has a desire for your prosperity. There is only one problem that God has with this prosperity thing. He doesn't want money to own you. Did you hear me? He doesn't want what? No. He doesn't want money to own your heart. Am I talking? He wants you to have money, but he doesn't want money to have you. And you see, when we can settle these issues, you will see that you prosper easily. Are we together? Now, please hear me. In all matters of value in this kingdom, when it comes to God committing into your hands anything of value in this kingdom, his first port of call is your heart. He's going to weigh your heart. He's going to check your heart to find out why you really want that thing. Am I communicating at all? In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 11 and 12. Some of you are familiar with the story. Solomon, brother Solo, in the Bible, not the one in church here. Amen. Are we together? Now, he was presented with a blank check. He had offered 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. And the Bible says that night, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he said to Solomon, he said, ask what I will do for you. Ask whatever you want. That was a blanket check. And Solomon asked for what? Wisdom. Amen. Solomon asked for what? Now, so let's look at God's response. So God said in verse 11, then God said to Solomon, because what? Come on, you are walking with me. Walk with me. Because what? Because what? Because this was. So whenever you are praying, whenever you are asking God for anything, God is not so much as moved up with the words of your mouth. What he is moved by is the condition of your heart. So while Solomon was speaking, God was measuring his heart. Am I talking? You know, Lord, I love you. You are this, you are that. Those words, see, God is not your girlfriend, though. Hello? You add a little tears, put some onions. The thing will flow. No. God is not moved that way. As you are claiming you love him, he's this, he's that, what is God doing? God is measuring your heart. He's checking your heart. Am I communicating? Yes, remember Abraham? Huh? Only God knows how many times Abraham has said, God, you know I love you. You know you are the Alpha, you are the Omega, you are the beginning and the end. And God decided to test him. He said, bring your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering on a mount I will show you. When Abraham passed that test, now please hear me, before every promotion in the natural, there is an examination. The same thing in the realm of the spirit. When God wants to qualify you for your next level, he will test you. The difference is, in the natural, you know the test is going on. You are informed before the test. In the spiritual, you don't know you are writing exam. So the Bible says God tested him. And when Abraham passed the test, what did God say? God said, now I know that you fear me. It's not what you say with your mouth. He said, now I know that you fear me. Then God swore by himself, saying, in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you. So God weighs the hearts of men. Am I communicating? If you are going to qualify for God's prosperity, then the first place to get right is your heart. Am I communicating? It's the reason many Christians are not prospering. Hello? So let's go there quickly. 2 Chronicles 1 verse 11. Okay? So God said, because this was in your heart, and you have not what? Or, come on, speak up so that those watching us will know I'm not talking to myself. Yes? You say, you have not asked for what? Okay, let's take it from the beginning. Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies. Any power that does not want me to prosper, fall down, die. Fall down, die. He said, it was not in your heart, nor have you asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I've made you king. That's the test. When you are giving, are you giving out of long truth? Am I communicating? Yes, sir. He says, Solo, I have seen that long truth for money is not in your heart. So what did God say? Verse 12, quickly. Wisdom and knowledge are, and what? So Solomon was not looking for the thing, but God gave to him, and he gave it to him in measures beyond imagination. He said, I will give you riches and wealth like no one before you or after you will have. Why? Because long truth for it is not in your heart. Now remember, Solomon had given a dangerous offering, 1,000 burnt offerings. If you calculate it in today's value, that's a dangerous one. How much is a cow? Who knows how much is a cow? 1.2, 1.4. That's expensive meat. So now if you go to somebody's house, they give you Magu cube meat, you should appreciate it. Amen. So now, the kind of cow, a king will give as sacrifice, I hope you know, it's not the one that the ribs are showing. Eh? That kind of cow be born again. So let's give me value. Please, if your phone is ringing, the only reason it's permitted to ring is the latest Samsung, that one that used to fold in four places. If it's not that phone, it should not ring. If it's not the latest iPhone, it should not ring. Because if I seize it, it will not be of value to me. Yes. Who is helping me? Quickly. About 1.6. Now, 1.6 million times 1,000. Hmm? 1.6 million times 1,000. That's 9 zeros. What is a billion? How many zeros are in a billion? You should know, because you'll soon be billionaires. 9 zeros. So Solomon gave 1.6 billion as offering. If somebody gives 1.6 billion as offering, I will phone the person and say, oh God, what did they find? True of us. The Bible says that night God came to Solomon and said, oh God, waiting you they find. Waiting you they, okay, collect anything because of this offering. And Solomon said, I'm not looking for anything. The only thing I want is give me the ability to do the work you've given me as per your kingdom concern. And when Solomon was talking, God was looking at his heart. Because you know, naturally, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But the same Jesus told us that there are some people, their lips are saying one thing, their heart is saying another thing. So he wanted to be sure that Solomon was not in that category. Who has disconnected his heart from his lips? And after he checked the heart of Solomon, he discovered that his giving was not a charismatic banking system. You see, many of us, what we are running is charismatic banking. So if I give God 10,000, Shady says 100-fold reward. So this is what I will get. So when you are giving your offering, you are not giving it out of a heart of love. You are giving it with calculation of what will be returns. Heart. So when God looked at Solomon's heart, hello, he didn't see greed. Solomon passed the test. May you pass the test in Jesus' name. Amen. So what did God see in the heart of Solomon that moved him to put money in Solomon's hands? Apart from the lust for money, God saw a commitment to kingdom. Did you hear me? He said, because this was in your heart. What was in his heart? Wisdom to rule your people. Wisdom to advance your kingdom. So two things God was looking at. Does he have long tooth for money? And is he concerned about my kingdom? Amen. The reason God puts money into the hands of believers is for the sake of the kingdom. Should I repeat that? The reason God will put money into your hand as a child of God is for what purpose? The kingdom. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove that to you from the scriptures. If you pass this test, then you meet God's requirement for prosperity. Praise the Lord. Is someone with me this morning? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, Zechariah 1 verse 17, God says, again proclaim saying, God's word says, again proclaim saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again spread out through what? Prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Amen. Listen to me. The gospel costs money. Take it or leave it. Hello? The gospel costs money. So God says, in the last days, he will release prosperity upon his people. For what purpose? To be able to drive the message of the kingdom. Are we together? Can you imagine if we are paying for this hall every service? Hello? How much do you think we'll be paying? Somebody give me a rough one. With everything, all the works that are here, the AC, the gen, everything that we have here, if we're to pay for it for 2 hours, event planners. Sorry? For every Sunday, every service. Sorry? About 500,000. No, no, I'm not saying monthly. As much as 1.5 to 2 million. Father, we thank you. You know, I'm thanking God. We don't have to pay it. 1.5 to 2 million. Now, let me ask you a question. Will the offering generate it? Hello? Now, we are not paying for it. But olive oil didn't build it. I won't go to the value of the building and the things inside. But do you know what, for example, it cost us every service on diesel? When we're running service, we don't use NEPA because we don't want interruptions. Now, you know there was a time we were having trip-offs. Huh? While we were having trip-offs, the capacity of the generator we had was small. We bought it when we didn't have all this stuff. Hello? We started adding. Then it became small. We're using a 30 kVA generator. Now, how many of you know that we recently purchased a 100 kVA generator? See, now that's why cold is catching you inside church. And by the way, it's not cold. What's happening? It's not cold this one. I'm almost sweating. Amen. Hello? Let me ask you a question. Did we collect offering? Did we even announce it? You just came and saw. Some people don't even know. They just noticed the cold is more. Talk to me. Not only did we get that 100 kV, we added 2 brand new ACs. We went to the shop, spoke in tongues, prophesied, brought anointing of favor, puffed myself with the thing, and say, I'm a man of God, give me all these things. It's got last they used to drive you. How many of you know what I'm saying? He said, my cities, you see, my city shall yet be spread abroad. How? Through prosperity. Listen to me. It's more difficult to run church today than it was 5 years ago. It's more expensive. If you know what it costs to have service every Sunday, you just sit and you enjoy your destiny. Amen. Are we together? Am I communicating? You see, I need to break this thing down because there is a lot of talk on social media. Amen. The man who began to champion these things later confessed that he started that message and his people stopped giving. They started having financial issues. So I think the man wanted others to suffer like he was suffering. But let's leave that alone. Are we together? Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let me try and fly. Is God speaking to someone? Amen. So now, this one will also blow your mind. Now, contrary to the belief, amen. Contrary to what many people think, that the money you have is to meet your needs. You know, if I ask you, why do you want money? The first thing most people say is to meet their needs. Talk to me now. Okay, because I say contrary, you don't want to talk. Amen. Now, contrary to that thinking, the money that God has put in your hands, whether you are wealthy or not, is not to meet your needs. Father, please give me entrance into their hearts. I know barriers and structures are being raised up, but I bring them down in the name of Jesus. Amen. He said, casting down every imagination and every height that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Money in the hands of a believer is not meant to meet his needs. And like I said, I'm going to show you. The prerogative of meeting your needs is God's own. Is someone with me? Philippians 4:19, and my God shall what? According to what? Yes. Did he say according to the money in your pocket? Did he say you will supply your own needs? Did he say so? Oh, you're not talking to me. He says, my God shall what? Some of your needs. Come on, walk with me now. All according where? His riches in glory. So not what you have in your bank account, not according to your paycheck. Are we together? Are we together? Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25. Matthew 6:25. Please put it up quickly. Faces are already changing. We'll get there. Amen. You see, let me tell you. If this understanding enters your heart, there's no limit to what you can do. Is someone with me? When we're building, praise the Lord. When we're to start, they gave me the quotation for the foundation. Men, I'm sure you understand. When they bring bill and you don't have the money, what's your response? What's your first response? Anger at your vex. Where's Brother Frederick? You remember now? I vex, I para. What? I won't keep a sin. That's a man's natural response. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, your temporary sight that you had there, how much money did you have where you built it? We raised that structure in 52 days. It was such that after roofing it, the people around there came to congratulate me. So, but you try to roof this thing. It was temporary, but we didn't build small. He said, how much money did you have? So I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Now guess what I did? By the time they put the thing, they carried the foundation to one side. I now saw plenty of land on this side and on this side. Now I say, I beg, extend it this way and extend it this way. So the original drawing had proportions of 22 meters in length, 18 meters in width. And I moved it to 22 meters in width, 27 meters in length. The engineer came and shouted, he said, do you know what you have done? Do you know what you have added? I asked him, now you go pay put. Are you the one paying for it? He kept quiet. Now, what was my rationale? If they say I should build hot, I don't have money. If they say I should build something bigger, I don't have money. So whichever way, I'm not the one paying for it. So why should I think small? You see, when you understand that God is the one committed to your needs, you will dream bigger. Are we together? So Matthew 6:25, quickly, time has left me. So he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than, that's our number one concern, right? Okay, so go with me verse 32. Let's run. Praise the Lord. Go to verse 32 quickly. I barely scratch what I'm saying. Amen. So he says, for after all these things, for what? So who is committed to providing it? So what has happened to most of us, we have taken God's responsibility from him. Is someone with me? So God never planned. Listen to me. Hi, God, give me, God, help me communicate this thing. See, God never planned that you will walk and sweat to get food. It's a curse. So if you are still sweating to eat, you are laboring under the curse that Christ redeemed you from. Before the curse, God said to Adam, of every fruit of the trees in the garden, you may what? Freely eat. After Adam sinned, he says, cursed are you, and cursed be the ground for your sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bear. Of the sweat of your brow you will eat till you return to the grave. So this mentality that I have to hustle to get something is operating under a curse. A curse you have been delivered from. So God never intended that it is your salary that will take care of you. Am I communicating? Can I show you something? Eh? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. I hope I'm communicating. Ephesians 4, 28. Quickly. Okay, can we read together with a loud voice? Want to go? No, hold on. The man is stealing because he does not have food. His hunger driving him to steal. And then the Bible now says, stop stealing. Go and get a job. I thought the Bible would say that you will have what to eat. It says you should do what? For what purpose? Have something to what? To give, not to eat. I remember some years ago, I heard Pastor Chris Oyakhilome say this. He says, you don't, how did he put it? You don't work to make a living, you work to make a giving. He said, let him work with his hands that he may have to give, not to eat. Because if God is your father, he's committed to feeding you. How many of your children, parents, work before they can eat? Talk to me. So he says, let him walk with his hands that he may have to give. Why? Because God has a protocol by which he meets your needs. And that protocol is, as you commit to his kingdom, he commits to your supply. Am I communicating at all? If you are hearing me, say, I hear you. Are we together? Amen. Can I show you? Okay. So let's go back to Philippians 4. Okay. This time, let's put it in context. You know, it says, and my God shall supply according to what? Glory. So it says, and my God. That means, that's not the beginning of the statement. Something precedes that statement. Something qualifies that statement. Are we together? Are we together? Yes, sir. Amen. So what qualifies that statement? Let's take our reading from verse 15 to have a context. Quickly, give me NLT. I've prayed that this thing will enter, and we enter in Jesus' name. whether the devil like it or not, receive revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are about to break out from poverty permanently.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. You see, the problem is you have been looking for money to eat. And God doesn't want you to look for money to what? To eat. Amen. So, now, can we read together with a loud voice? He say, you, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who, when, what's the good news? The gospel, right? And then traveled from Macedonia. No other church did this. Yes? Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent more help. You self-help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At this moment, I what? And I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me from with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God. And pleasing to God. So now Paul said, based on this condition, my God shall what? It's not prayer point. It's a result of obedience. So Paul is saying, because you are committed to the finances of the kingdom, the God who has been supplying my own needs will supply your needs. Now understand this. Please understand this. Church is not a man. Church is a people, true of us. The finance church does not exist without you. Every member of this church is part of the refinance church. Praise the Lord. Now, because church is a body, the responsibility of the church is not the pastor's responsibility. It's everybody's responsibilities. You see, my financial needs, I believe God for. But the needs of the church, we put hands together for. Hello? So Paul said, because you have fulfilled your part, this God who has been taking care of me will now start taking care of you. Amen. So when you receive money, you collect money, and you just bobo it on yourself, you think that's what money is for. You cut yourself out of God's supply system. So if you look at Matthew 6, if you read from verse 25 to 32, you see the same picture. So Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Don't care about these things. He said, your Father knows that you have need of it. And then he said, seek first the kingdom. And then what? All these things will be. Are we together? Is it coming together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, when we don't have a proper understanding of God's purpose for putting money in our hands, what are we likely to do? Money becomes an idol. Money becomes what? What is an idol? Anything that takes the place of God in your life. So let me begin to ask you. Your source of income. Is it not taking the place of God? Because you tell yourself, if I don't hustle, I won't eat. You now use that as an excuse not to be in church. Talk to me. So your money has become what? Because you don't understand the place of money. Now listen. The children of Israel. Remember the children of Israel? Am I preaching to myself? I should be shouting and vibrating. Remember the children of Israel? Who remembers what happened to them? Now, in Psalm 105, verse 37, The Bible says God brought them out with silver and gold. Hello? They were well loaded. Amen. But the problem was, they did not understand the reason for which God gave them money. See, these guys had been slaves for years. And they did what most of us will do. Hello? You know, when you have been broke for so long, especially when you grew up in a family that poverty was their middle name, then you come and see money. What are you likely to do? You start buying everything you missed. Talk to me. Talk to me. You start buying everything you need. You want to make up for your childhood. You want to live large. So they did not know why God put money in their hands. And what did they do? They used that same money to build an idol, the golden calf. Where did they get the ideology of the golden calf? From Egypt. You see, when a Christian does not understand why money is in his hands, he uses money like an unbeliever. He builds the same idols with an unbeliever. He's buying an expensive phone. He's changing cars. How many cars can you drive? If lockdown didn't teach you sense, it taught me sense. Lockdown. I think that was, we had just gotten the Pathfinder. I bought the car to cruise, then they locked the thing down. I'll just come out, I'll be looking, I'll just see cars in the compound. You can't go anywhere with it. That's when I understood that when a man dies, it's only himself he carries. So they used that money that God gave them to do what? To build an idol. Praise the Lord. Like many of us are doing. So why did God give them that money? They were slaves. Why did God load them with so much money? Exodus chapter 25 from verse 1. Quickly. Exodus 25 from verse 1 to 8. I have to find somewhere to round this up. Amen. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to what? That they may. Remember, they were slaves. Before now, the God asked them for offering because they didn't have the means. He said, bring me an offering from everyone who gives it with. Now, God gave them money like God gives us money, but he will never force us to give it. Amen. Verse 3. He said, this is the offering which you will take from them, gold, silver, and. Did they have gold and silver before? No. What did they use to be the golden calf? Gold. Okay. Blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair. Yes. Ram skin dyed red, badger skin, and acacia wood. Oil for the lights, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. What is God talking about now? God don't enter a work. Is that not so? Okay, verse 28 together. Let's read with loud voice. So why did God put money in the children of Israel's hands? Kingdom, the work of God. Did he collect everything? Hello? He said, let them make me. They didn't have it. So when they sold that money, hey, now maybe this, I've suddenly become rich. My bros, my level has changed. I must wear designer suits now. They went wild. The same thing is happening to us. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, as believers, we can expect to be blessed and prosper if the reason we seek prosperity is as a means to help further the gospel, to further the kingdom. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. If your desire to prosper is God, your work needs money, God will give you money. If your desire to prosper, hello, is made the nose I get, God is not committed to. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, quickly. Is it coming together? I just have to stop somewhere. Okay. Now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom and the 12 were with. Can you imagine what it will cost Jesus going about? You know, we just assume, say the disciples are going up and down. Everywhere Jesus went, the 12 went with him. Do you know what it will cost in travels to be taking 12 grown men everywhere? Even if you are trekking, not good job. Lodging. So verse 2. And certain women who had been, walk with me now, talk out, and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. Yes. Verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others did what? Amen. Passion Translation, verse 3, quickly. Can we read with a loud voice? Cusa, who managed King Herod's household, and many women who supported Jesus' ministry from their own and also, you see, God gave them good jobs. For what purpose? Now, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus who can say, fish, hey, I need money for tax. And we get it. You see, when Jesus had to pay his own tax, he used supernatural supply. When Jesus had to cater for ministry, he looked to the same people who had been blessed by that ministry. Because if you look at the people, they were all blessed by his ministry. They were the ones responsible for funding the ministry. When it was his private need, did he ask them? Why? Because it's a divine protocol. Jesus said, we must fulfill all righteousness. So he will not violate God's procedures. It was God who said that the Levites and the priests must be taken care of by who? The people. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. And that's why in any church, if you see those who are committed to, you know, funding the work of ministry, they prosper. Talk to me. Those who don't give, now so God, they look them. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, 6. Please give my usual text. Okay, let's read this. And those who are taught the word. No. Can we read it? You jumped something now. Say it loud and clear. Those who are. Amen. Amplified. Sharply. Okay, read loud voice. Loud and clear. We can read translation after. So in verse 7, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So how can you expect God to prosper you if you are not committed to his work? It's a must. So you see, when some people got up and say, I hope they are not recording me for social media. They are all thieves. Thieves. And some of us re-echoed it. Don't be foolish. Can I show you something? You are not talking to me now. Anytime we enter this money thing, all of you, just your voice will cease. You know I've run away from this money talk for a long time. So am I permitted to talk? Listen, listen. Let me show you something. You say they are all thieves. They are robbers. Hello. Remember the sons of Eli? Eh? Those people who the Bible calls sons of Belial, who were digging hand into the offering bars and chopping as they liked. Eh? What did God say? Have you read that text? Please go back and read it. God said, listen, hear what God said. When God challenged Eli, do you know what he said to Eli? He says, have I not given the offerings of the people of Israel to you and your father's household forever? God never called them thieves one day. Please give me that text. They are just looking at me. Read your Bible. Is that 1 Samuel chapter 2 or 3? Please check it for me quickly so it saves time. He says, I gave it to you. The only problem God had is that they took before him. He didn't call them thieves. Can I give you something and then tell you that you stole it? Have you found it quickly? That's why I don't run my Christianity with social media. I run it with the Bible. Just use the electronic Bible. 2:14. Okay, give me 1 Samuel 2:14. Quickly, put it up. My time is up. Holy Spirit, help me round up somewhere. Okay, good. Okay. Can we look at it together? He said, then he will trust. Take it from verse 13, quickly. Okay, 12. Are you learning something? Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Yes, verse 13. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Okay, next verse. And the priest, then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Okay, quickly. Also, before they burn the fat, the priest's servant will come and say to the man who sacrificed, give me meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take it boiled. Now, we need to jump to 28. So jump to verse 28 quickly. 2:8. 1 Samuel chapter 2, 28. Okay. Now, hear God. Can we do it together? One to go. Let's, okay, are we okay here? Okay. Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house how many? made by, verse 29, why do you kick at my and my offerings? Yes. Yes. Next verse. Next verse. Now, did God call them thieves? No, answer me now. Did God say they stole? What was God's problem? They honored, Eli honored what? His sons more than him. How? He allowed them to collect first. What is the first thing? The tithe. They are thieves. I just needed to dispel that. Am I talking to somebody? Read your Bible. God will not judge you according to social media. He will judge you according to the written word. So if you commit a sin because somebody on social media said it, see, it is not the popularity of a pastor that validates him. It is the correctness of his teaching in line with written scriptures. The things that are considered, that are highly esteemed among men, are an abomination in the sight of God. So at times, what everybody is praising, God hates. So let's put that aside. I just needed to clear that. Amen. Maybe I should share the grace here so that you can digest that one properly. You should share the grace. I just dropped bomb. That one shocked you, right? Talk to me now. Is somebody taking names of noisemakers? The whole place gone quiet. That's why my Bible is my best friend. Are you seeing what I'm showing you? So can you call a man a thief that God didn't call a thief? The owner of it said they didn't steal it. Then you are saying they stole it. Please let me finish what I started. Amen. So do we understand that? Do we understand that? Praise the Lord. So God has put a support system. And that's why you should tithe, really. Because if you go back to history, I believe in principles of first mention. The purpose of the tithe. You see, when God brought Israel, the tithe existed before the law. I hope you know that. But when God brought out Israel and institutionalized religion. Hello? Before then, religion was an individual thing. But the moment he institutionalized religion, I don't know if I'm saying that, I'm biting my tongue. Amen. He put a corporate worship system. God made sure he provided for that system. Are we together? And he talked about the tithes for the Levites. He talked about specific offerings. And God was so particular and careful to decide what goes where and what should be kept. Amen. Because he didn't want the system to run dry. So that's why the Bible says, bring your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat. So the tithe, God's plan with the tithe was to be like a financial system for the work of God. I don't know if I've communicated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let me round up. The purpose of prosperity for a Christian is to do the work of God and to do the will of God. Your prosperity as a child of God is connected to God's eternal purposes. Hello? Your prosperity as a child of God is connected to God's eternal purposes. Okay? The most, now listen to this. When I'm talking about God's eternal purposes, God's plan for mankind. Hello? Now hear me. The most important activity on the earth, as far as God is concerned, is the redemption of mankind. See, a lot of people say all kinds of things. The church should be doing, the church should be doing, this church should be building, the church should be building school. No. The primary concern in the mind of God, God's primary activity on the earth, is redemption of souls. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but be saved. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. That is God's prime assignment. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Christ is the head. We are the body. The head cannot be doing one thing. The body is doing another thing. So the chief assignment of the church is to seek and save the lost. So Jesus came into the earth for what purpose? To save souls. Amen. To seek the lost. So Matthew 9:35. Quickly, Matthew 9:35. I am rounding up here. Praise the Lord. He said, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. So Jesus was going from place to place, doing what? Fulfilling the purpose for which he came into the world. Praise the Lord. Now, moving from towns to villages to cities, did it cost money? It cost money. So Jesus had ministry support. Hello? When Jesus was going, he said to us in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom to every creature. Hello? If we have to take the gospel message, the message God has given us, if we have to take it, let's not go too far. To Ghana. Will you be free? Will you be free? If we say we want to go and plant a church in Ghana, you know what it will cost? You will get land. You have flight tickets. The man you are sending there, you will get a house. You will pay him salary. By the time you calculate all that money, is it change? Is it change? Even to do evangelism. Amen. iPhone is coming. Amen. Are you with me? And Jesus said, go into all the world. He said, but others are going. Must you go to? Matthew 28:18. Please give Matthew 28:18. Thank you. Has this helped anybody? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on. Yes, next verse. Go therefore and make, baptizing them, and of the Son. Yes, look at verse 20. Can we read verse 20 together with a loud voice? teaching them to what? All things. Amen. Now, the Refiners Church, what he has commanded us, is it the same thing as what he commanded Living Faith? Is it the same thing as what he commanded RCCG or Christ Embassy? So the one he has committed to you, you don't sit in one place with it. You must take it to all the world. Teach them to observe the very one I commanded you. No man has the totality of the knowledge. The Bible says we know in part. I'm going to stop you because of time. Are we together? So God wants his people to prosper because of the gospel. Not to be on social media and be doing obikubana and all those things. Nah. That's not the essence of prosperity. That's idolatry. See, those guys don't know why money is in their hands. I don't want to go into the part that the money you've collected, I will show you from the Bible, but not today. That the money in your hand will stand against you in the day of judgment. So when you stand before God, they will show you all the money you've collected. Then the money will tell you what you used him for. And how many times you had the money in your pocket, they asked for money in the house of God, you burned them. Amen. I've looked for trouble. That's my job. Are we together? So God wants you to prosper. And prosper you would. But you must pass the test. You must what? You must get your heart right. And two things God principally asks for. Remove greed. Put the kingdom. Amen. You pass that test, you will never lack money. And the truth is, if you pass that test, money cannot be an idol. To whom much is given? Let me close on this note. There's so much I want to say, but I have to find a way. Let me close on this note. God asked me a question. And I've been wondering how I would deliver this thing, because it was heavy in my mouth. Now, remember what we said. Please be upstanding. Remember what we said the purpose of money is, right? Huh? Primarily to secure goods and services. Is that not so? Huh? Talk to me now. To secure goods and services. We all agree on that point, right? So God asked me, because the first question he asked me, he said, what is the purpose of money? And I said, well, this is what they say money is for. Then he asked me a question. He said, how much does a man need? How much does a man need? Hello? How much food can you eat? How many rooms do you need to sleep? How many clothes can you wear per time? How many cars can you drive at a time? How much do you really need? You know, by the time you break it down, quantify, you find out we don't need much. Talk to me. So he says, what is the value? What purpose does the extra serve? You know, the problem is when we start making money, we increase our appetites. But even with increasing our appetite, now let me say this, please. If you are struggling to pay your bills, your appetite is wrong. Hello? So, let's assume you don't decide to have long throat. You meet your needs. All that extra money, what purpose does it serve? Why did God give it to you? Kingdom. Now, when you now think of the fact that you are not even the one supposed to meet your needs. So you see, we have been looking at money wrongly. So before I begin to teach you how to make it, you must know why it is. You're going to pray. Hello? The heart is the most important part. You are going to ask God to help you circumcise your heart. Did you hear me? Lord, circumcise my heart. Remove every strange desire. Remove every kind of long throat for money. Remove every form of idolatry. Remove greed. Remove self, anything that would disqualify me. Let my heart be right before you. I want to hear you pray. Unless you are not looking forward to God's prosperity, circumcise my heart. Circumcise my heart. Remove greed. Remove greed. Lord, remove greed for my heart. Remove lust for money. Remove lust for money. God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart. In your heart, there was no long throat for money. There was no long throat for riches. He said, for this reason, I will give you riches. So what is in your heart, what is in my heart that is the obstacle? What is it that is in your heart and my heart that is making God withhold from us? I want you this morning to ask God to help you rid of it. Ask God to help you take it away. He said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. He said, no man can know it. Lord, I don't know my heart like you know it. Please purge my heart. Purge my heart. Purge my heart. Are you praying at all? Do you know this song? Change my heart, oh Lord. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh Lord. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh Lord, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh Lord, may I be like. Lord, please change it. True. Make it ever true.
Change my heart, oh Lord.
Change my heart, oh Lord.
May I be like you.
May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Shape me and mold me. This is what I pray.
Change my heart, oh Lord. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh Lord. May I be like you.
Is that your prayer this morning? Only Him alone can do that. So can you from the depths of your heart cry out unto Him? He is the potter. Say, Father, before you I come, I acknowledge that I'm a clay in your hands. Shape me and mold my heart. Let me be like you. Let my heart beat where yours beats, O God. Let it be in alignment with your will and your purposes. That the things that you give me to enjoy life will not close the doors of my heart unto you. So, Father, this morning, change my heart. That money will not become an idol. It will not become my master, but it will be for the use of the kingdom in my hands. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed this morning. Can somebody give Jesus praise? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Please, can we be seated briefly? They say, let's talk about money. Are we talking about money or not? I know, like I said to Daddy the day before yesterday, I said some people are expecting what they say, let's talk about money.